Welcome to the Basic Bogeys Podcast. We release new episodes every Thursday. If you like what you hear, follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and subscribe on YouTube.
We can be found at Basic Bogeys on all platforms.
What's up, everyone? I'm Gary.
Maybe some brutally honest moments there.
Did you just spill something on the brand new Acorn Hills?
This is why we can't have nice things, dude.
Hey, I'm TJ. Obviously, I'm a big Ricky Fowler guy.
This man's at the range.
Listen.
Listening to Alanis Morissette.
I think we both have a pretty decent short game for not being pro golfers.
We're caught in between that average to...
Yeah, low, mid handicap.
Yeah.
Even people with two legs is difficult. Golf is hard.
Right.
Here with the Basic Bogey Fellas. This is good. This is fun.
This is all that was supposed to happen. Yep. Just to end up here with us. Yep.
Everything happens for a reason. Sat here in front of you two beautiful gentlemen.
Everybody was crowding on the green. Like, yo, let's go to the next tee.
TJ's like, no, let's go to that tee box.
Posted up real close, and there's DJ and his brother Austin.
Have a good fish fry.
And then pick up the fish fry and go.
Pick up the fish fry and go.
You just showed up with my wristband, and you're walking out with burgers, chicken sandwich, fries.
We had glizzy stuff.
We had five meals.
Easy. One of the scariest moments of my life. I forgot when you texted me. It was hilarious. I think you were like, you know what? We could use this.
That was after I had made the offer.
Oh, you already? Okay. All right. That checks out.
We're in it to win it this year, so
watch out.
We are Basic Bogeys.
Hey, guys. What's up? Today, we've got a special guest, Fat to Fit Golf, our buddy Sam Roberge from Quebec, Canada. He'll be on the podcast today.
Yeah. Sam's someone I kind of started talking with last summer when I started up my solo golf page, and it's been cool kind of watching his swing progress throughout the summer, and he was out playing a whole bunch of golf. Hopefully it's more the same this coming year.
Yeah, I'm ready for a smooth swing and a smooth interview.
Why don't you give us just a quick little intro about yourself?
I'm French-Canadian over here, live in Quebec, Canada. I dove deep into golf in the last few years. I got hooked like many of you guys, probably like you've all done at some point in your lives. Took a while for me. It wasn't until the later years in my life that I discovered golf, and it's been quite the journey as far as passion and just really liking it and finding so many good things out of it, you know, mental health, physical activity, social. I'd love to work in the golf industry one day. So I'm kind of all in and just hoping that, you know, slowly in life, golf is a bigger part of my life.
Yeah, I remember we had kind of talked before, like just about like what the like your ideal job would be in the golf industry if you had to pick a job. What would that be for you?
So the reason I started my Instagram account was kind of to dive into the digital marketing world. I've always been fascinated with like our collective viewership that we have when we all put our eyeballs on one project, and it makes that project spark, and it allows, you know, certain things, and sometimes money comes in. And so I've always been fascinated by that, but not really on a personal level. I don't really want to be an influencer. I'd love to work in the golf industry one day. Marketing is something that I'm interested in, but also like events. I love the idea of the community in golf. And I think, you know, both professionally or even with like some companies, I think there are so many opportunities with the public and the youth and education. So I'd love to find something in golf related to all that. I don't know what it is yet, and it's kind of hard in Quebec to figure out, you know, full-time jobs because we don't have golf most of the year. So
still
a work in progress what I do want to do, but I know that I'd like golf to be part of it, that's for sure.
It's pretty cool too that, I mean, you're even in the early stages of kind of figuring it out, that again, you can, you know, see a bunch of different angles, and like you were saying with the education part or like the camaraderie part, like all that kind of stuff. There's so many different avenues that you can go with, especially with the digital marketing stuff.
Yeah, and I'm kind of taking it slow. Like I'm a retired teacher. I'm 31 years old, but I just quit teaching after like 6 years of school. So it's kind of a early exit for me, and it's just figuring out professionally, you know, how I'm going to do it and what's the path to a full-time golf job, which is, like I said, not the easiest thing, but slowly, you know, participating in whatever I can find, volunteering. And I worked a summer golf camp for youth last year. So just little things. I like the idea of using Instagram to inspire people a little bit, sharing about my own journey in golf, which, like I said, came later in life. And it's something that I had done before, but I wasn't comfortable with my weight to just go out there and golf by myself. So that was a big hindrance and something that, you know, made it so that it took so long for me to really allow myself to just say, screw it, I'm going to golf and I'm going to enjoy it. And that's how the love story happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun kind of watching your spring or your swing, like just it's looking so good. I was showing Gary some of the stuff, and it's like, I remember we started talking a lot at the beginning of last season, and just seeing your game kind of progress throughout the summer was cool, and being out there golfing a bunch.
Thanks for the good comments. I get that a lot, and I don't feel that confident in my swing. So I guess there's a natural part to it that makes it look good. Still getting mixed results. And I think a big part of it is just accepting whatever comes as far as a result, as far as a score, and not focus too much on the process. But it hasn't been easy because I kind of hyper focus on, you know, bettering my swing, and I really want to put in the time, and I want to try to see where I can take my game. So there's that focus that's not always so good when you hyper focus on mm-hmm. something. The weight also is something that's difficult to manage with my swing. I do have, you know, obesity problems still that I'm battling, and I have that big belly. So as I'm losing weight, the swing path is still, you know, changing, it seems like, from week to week or from month to month. So I would be like a big fade guy at the start, or big slicer like most of us. And then as I've been losing weight, and it seems like that pat is coming inside a little bit more. And then now I've gone to hooks. So it's been quite a journey to try to figure out that swing with the weight loss at the same time.
That's got to be so frustrating too, because it's like, man, you figure out your swing, and then all of a sudden it's off. But then you realize it's because that you're losing weight. So you're like, now you got to redo it. That's got to be like a frustrating process, but also like a positive one at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. It comes from a positive, so it's all good, and I'm cool with it. But I only had about a stretch of 2 weeks last summer where I was like, oh, I've got a pretty good swing going, the driver is going straight, and I was like, maybe I've figured this out. And then that was all gone by the end of the year. Mostly the driver, I would say, has been the most frustrating club for me, trying to learn how to hit it. It's still giving me anxiety and trouble off the tee, let's just say.
Yeah, same with me. It's always a hit or miss.
Work in progress.
I don't know what it is that makes it such. Like, it's not that different from what you're doing with the other clubs. It's just the angle, but I don't know. It's just hard to square it off. And like I said, it was slices at the beginning, and now we've got the hooks, and some people are saying swing path, and others are telling me I need a new shaft. And then it's like, where do we go from there?
Yeah. You know? So one other thing I want to touch on was, you know, you talked about just kind of growing that golf community and collaborating with others. And I know you did a whole holiday food drive at the end of 2023. I just wanted to ask how you kind of went about pulling that off. And, you know, it's just a really cool idea.
Yeah, so like I said in the beginning, like me being on Instagram was always more a curiosity of how we can get people together, how we can bring eyeballs on a project and kind of decide to lift it from there and see where the collective aspect takes it. One of my wild dreams would be to do like a community-owned golf course. That would be something that I would find fascinating, like just being able to own and buy a golf course and give people jobs and all. I'll own it, you know, collectively, and not have one person benefit from that big project like we see influencers online, and nothing against those influencers. But that's a big task. And I've dove into it, and I've, you know, investigated a little bit what it would take to get it done, and legally and from a financial standpoint, and just getting a start point going, it's kind of difficult. So I've decided to go a little bit smaller. And that's where that golf community food drive kind of came together. And I had some rough times personally in the last few years financially, so I know how difficult it can be food wise so it was something that was close to my heart, and I thought, hey, why not use that little community that I've got and try to do something. And it was an interesting process and result. You know, we got like around 1200 meals for a food bank.
Awesome.
they can stretch out a dollar into three meals, so that was pretty cool to be able to do that in such a short amount of time.
That's awesome. That's so, I love that idea. Like just like a community owned golf course like that. And like providing jobs, providing like a place for people like, you know, that can go and get like an affordable, like to grow the game, you know, make it like an affordable process of that. That's really cool.
Yeah, and it would only take like a few thousand people that would say, hey, I'd like to buy a membership there. And then you can get your membership playtime and you can have access maybe to simulators and maybe even have like, you know, little Airbnbs there. And then people can kind of benefit from being the first time owners or starting that project. And then you could get, you know, marketing going and get some sponsors involved. And then that's where those youth programs could get going and education through that project and really anything that the members want to promote to grow the game. So that would be the big dream, but yeah, mostly a dream for now.
Yeah, yeah. Moving from the right direction though.
Yeah.
You kind of get ready for spring up there? I know we're ready to get playing here. Still got a little snow on the ground, but we're hopefully, you know, in the next few weeks or so, we can get out there and play. You looking forward to the same?
Yeah, I mean, looking forward, yes. I think it's going to be a little bit more patience on our side. I live in Quebec City, so usually in Montreal, which is further south in the province, they get their playtime a little bit earlier. And it looks like this year it'll be an early spring, so I don't quite know, but usually not until the end of April, I would say. So we do have to wait a little bit more. And then the season stretches into like late October. So that's the time frame we got going, like early May to somewhere in October. The winter has been unusually mild here, surprisingly. It reminds me a little bit of the Wisconsin weather that I was used to when I lived there for a couple of years. So we do have the extremes, like super cold, but it's been a surprising few warmer days here and there, which I don't mind at all, but it doesn't bring any golf, unfortunately.
We're in Syracuse, New York. And we're like right off of Lake Ontario. So we get all the lake effect, and we've had a couple days in a row where we've had snow consecutively, but like that's the first time it's really happened since the winter. I mean, we've had a very, very calm winter for the most part here, which is abnormal for us too. So
yeah, I saw something the other day that we are like on pace for like the average winter here. I think we're like 6-7 feet behind on snow from what we normally get, which has been nice, but at the same time it's still not dry enough or warm enough to get out there and golf.
And far south would you have to get any golf going right now? Like drive a few hours at least?
Yeah, because we had talked with someone, one of our other buddies from Pennsylvania, like the Philly area earlier, and they got snow there too. So it's, you know, hours and hours. Like, Philly's probably like 4 hours from here, so it's probably like an 8-hour drive realistically.
At least, to find somewhere where you could golf.
So a little bit of the same as us, stuck here.
Just wait it out.
I didn't expect it to be this hard the first time around. Like last season was like the first full-time season that I've kind of really put the time and decided, oh, I'm going to go all in. And it brought such good things, like from a mental standpoint and physical standpoint. And like, for me, it's probably the perfect workout at my weight, because just walking it out is a good challenge. Like playing 9 holes is fine, but if I walk 18 by the end of the second 9, I'm pretty worn out. So it was all great things, but then when it came to an end at the end of the season, I was like, oh, what do I do now? Like it's not easy to replace something that's so prevalent in your life, and then it all goes to nothing. So it's been pretty rough. Hope you guys have been hitting the simulators a little bit.
Yeah, doing a little, just hitting bays in the garage and stuff like that. It's just
TJ has
trying to keep the swing in shape. It's tough when you get that, you know, you just get addicted to golf, and then all of a sudden there's snow, and there's months and months that you can't really do much, and it's filling that time with, that's why we're doing a podcast. I haven't swung,
I don't think, since November or October, November, somewhere in there. So
I'm in the same boat. Like simulators are so expensive that at some point you gotta put a line and not cross it as far as money goes with golf, because it can get crazy pretty quick. So it'll be a surprise when I go hit the hitting bay maybe in a couple weeks, and we'll see what we're working with.
Yeah, if it's a draw or a
Okay, so we got some like fun rapid questions for you. Okay,
sure.
So you just kind of give us like your input on them. When you putt, do you putt with a line on the ball, or do you just kind of set it and go?
I've tried both and I haven't come to any conclusion. I think for me, like, the stroke is probably way more important than the line right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind either way. And my ADHD forgets to line the ball probably half the time. So
me too, brother. I'm right there with you, man.
Like, oh, this time around I've got it going and I'm not putting well. And then the next time I forget and I putt well. So it's like, well, probably doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, right. I literally tell myself the exact same shit.
All right, just grabbed our hot dog here at the turn, so let's listen to a quick word from our sponsors.
The third annual East Syracuse Manoah Marching Band Golf Tournament is coming on Saturday, August 17th at Wanoa Golf Course. The cost is just $80 per person or $320 for a four-person team. The day includes 18 holes of golf, contests for putting, longest drive, and closest to the pin. Gifts from our sponsors, a delicious buffet lunch, and great prizes. All proceeds benefit the East Syracuse Manoah Marching Band. If you or someone you know loves to golf, or if you'd like to be a sponsor, you can sign up at esmmarchingband.org. That's esmmarchingband.org.
What's a TV or movie character that you most relate to?
Oh, that's a good question. I've watched a show called Burn Notice. And okay. Character is Michael Weston. And he's like that analytical spy that likes to think about everything and every little bit of every situation. So that'd be who I'd relate to the most, nice. Probably.
That's
not a very
great well-known answer.
Character, but...
No, it's perfect. Burn Notice is such an underrated show. It's so good.
One of my favorites, yeah.
Absolutely.
Glad to hear you know it. You know who it
is. Oh, hell yeah. There was a point in time where I was watching Burn Notice, Suits. I was a huge like Law & Order fan too. So like, dude, I watched all of those all the time.
I wish I could be Harvey in Suits, but I don't quite pretend to be that kind of individual. So
I wish I had his poker playing skills because I'd be rich.
Sure.
It'd be great, you know. Are you a Blade?
Card collection.
Yeah, it's car collection too. Are you a blade or mallet putter guy?
Just the regular putter. So I guess that's a blade, the Tiger style putter.
Yeah.
To be fair, like the first golf set that I got, I bought it new at a golf store here in town. And it was like a set, like a tailor-made set, the M2s. Mm-hmm. And I went to the guy and I was like, hey, there's no putter in your set. And he's like, no, you got to buy it. I was like, what kind of marketing is that? Like you're selling a set and it doesn't come with a putter. So he was like, let me go see in the back of the store really quick. And he just pulled out like an old Ping Answer from the trash bin, I guess, in the back. And it had an old Super Stroke on it. So that's what I started with, a free putter from the back of the warehouse. And then last summer, I just moved to a $3 like thrift store putter. So I don't have much invested in my putters. Both blades, the second one's a little bit heavier. It's got a better sight line on it too. So I don't even know the name of it. I think it's like a Northwestern Tom Weisskopf putter or something that nobody knows anything about.
It's unique though. Unique.
Yeah. So I haven't seen any difference from the first putter. So I'm like, well, do I really need to invest in a putter? So I was like, nah, when I've got the stroke better, then maybe I can think about investing in one. But for now, it's just
exactly
the regular simple blade that comes from trash bins, either at the thrift store or from the warehouse, from the golf store.
That's awesome. That's amazing. I love it.
Do you have a go-to golf ball, like a brand or a model that you like to use that at least you might feel like you play better with?
Absolutely not. I just buy whatever's on sale and whatever's the cheapest that's got maybe compression written on the box, then I'm happy with it and I just go along with it.
Yeah.
I bought a big supply of the Wilson 50-50 ball last summer. It was cheap and it was a good mix between a compression ball and maybe a slower swing speed ball, so I figured that'd be a good hybrid for the summer. I think my swing speed has gone up a little bit, so I'll have to think a little bit more about what kind of balls I do play. I played the TP5X at the end of last summer because I found like a few. I was following a guy on the golf course, and I kept finding his balls. So I guess it wasn't a good day for him. He gave me a few of his TP5s. So I did play them afterwards, and it was quite the difference. Once I could get my hands on them, I was like, oh, that's a nice feel, especially landing them on the green.
I could
feel the difference. But when I was hitting off the tee or off the fairway, I couldn't really tell. But on the green, that's when I could tell that they would land a little bit.
Yeah,
different.
I think once you start realizing that your irons and your wedges are actually compressing the ball, that's when it's like you start mm-hmm. to really feel the difference a little bit more. But yeah, it's like before I always used to think I knew the difference, mm-hmm. but now it's really, I mean, the driver and woods, it's like you can't really feel it, but with the wedges for sure, it's like you kind of almost feel it gripping a little bit and
having those softer way too many balls to justify like or $5 a ball, like that's just
right. I always
bro, I'm right there with you.
I always get just the pre-owned. There's that lostgolfballs.com, and it's like you get those $4 or $5 golf balls for like $1, $1.50, mm-hmm. and they're like still in great shape, and then you get that similar feel still of using the same ball. Mm-hmm. You know, I get like 100 of them, and it's like, I don't know, 70, 80 bucks, but it's...
Dude, there's a place that's around us too that I went out. I remember a couple of times last season, they're like refurbished golf balls, or they're just like golf ball, like that they, you know, clean up or whatever. But there was one that had, it's like $8 or $9 for like 14 balls, I think it is. And they were all Titleist ones. And like, I was like, oh, all right, cool. I'll just take these and use them. And I like those ones, but I also really, when we were talking to, our buddy in PA, I mean, he was talking about the noodles. I might try those out too. So
yeah,
the ball industry is crazy. There are so many options, and like you said, like you can just go on the used market, and I think that's probably the way to go. Like you're gonna lose them anyway, so might as well yeah. find them somewhere in the cycle where you're not the one paying $5, and you're probably better off like that.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. So last one here, if you weren't golfing, what else would you be doing with your life?
That's a good question. I'm trying to figure this out right now this winter because I'm not golfing. So I guess a lot of working for now. Like I said, I'm transitioning away from teaching. I'm working as a sports and leisure director at a golf local community center. So I'm trying to bring golf into their activities over there, trying to convince them that they need some hitting bays at their community center. So I'm working on that. But yeah, other than that, I like walking, but mostly in the summer. I don't do well in the winter outside. I like to swim, surprisingly. People are surprised when I say that. Like, oh, that guy can swim. I was like, yep,
yes, you can still swim.
I float pretty well. So I like swimming. And if I could have it, I think traveling would probably be a big part of my life. I'd love a job in the golf industry where I live somewhere south, somewhere warmer than I'm right now. And I'd love to mm-hmm. have a traveling aspect to it. So that would probably be what would encompass my life if golf wasn't around.
So, and then I lied. There is one more, and it's more of a personal question for me because I was on Instagram. It's like doing our research, you know, because we wanted to make this seem professional. You're a big wrestling fan, are you not?
Yeah, I do like wrestling.
Sure. Dude, me too. I love it. Give me your WrestleMania predictions.
So is it Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns? Is that what they've decided?
What I've been hearing is that night one is going to be Roman versus The Rock, and then number two would be Cody versus Roman, but I don't know if that's gonna happen. I feel like it's got to be Cody. I think it's gonna end up a triple threat. I think it's gonna be The Rock versus Roman versus Cody.
I think you've got to use that as a chance to thank Corey for carrying pretty much the company more than
right?
Roman Reigns. I feel like
100%.
Like he's the face of every angle and every little moment, every week in, week out. So. I'm a big Cody Rhodes fan, so
yeah.
I liked what he did when they came to town this summer in Quebec City with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and
yeah,
they had that big pop, and they were working against Judgment Day, and then Cody Rhodes came in and kind of helped them, and helped them win. So yeah, I would love that to happen, and I think that's the way to go.
they'll work. My day job is that I work with people with developmental disabilities and getting them back into the community. And one of the kids I support, he loves wrestling. So they're actually, the WWE is going to be in Syracuse the weekend before WrestleMania. So we're going to, I'm bringing him to the event. So I get to go watch them all literally. It's on a Sunday, and then obviously Raw would be on Monday, but that whole week is WrestleMania week. So we get to see their like basically last live show before WrestleMania.
That kid will have such a fun time, because it was my first time going last summer to a live event, and I went there with low expectations because I've always watched casually on TV, but I didn't know if I'd get a kick out of being there live. And I was actually playing golf, and I was on the last hole. And I looked up tickets like maybe an hour before the show, and they were $30 for floor tickets. I was like, yeah, hey, let's just try it. Let's just go. And one of the best live experiences of my life. Like,
dude, it's so much fun.
Games, baseball games. I've been to quite a few, and it's like, it's up there. It's so fun.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So what's one goal you have for yourself in your golf game this coming season?
I think it'll be to play as much as I can, because with the new job, I'll be quite busy. And I'm trying to turn my finances around a little bit. So I stretch my money thin transitioning from teaching to a new job. So just figuring out how I can golf as much as I can will be the big goal. And then I kind of want to get a little bit more serious with my weight loss. I did well last year, and I lost a bunch of weight. And I've been maintaining that weight more than losing in the last few months, which is a big, big win, better than playing the yo-yo game all the time. So I really want to focus on that and just get healthier and keep losing the weight. And then if I could shoot like under 85 at a legit golf course, that would probably be the more specific, you know, number goal that I'd like to achieve. That feel nice, like a nice 84, 85.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks a bunch, Sam, for taking the time, and you know, we look forward to having you on again sometime. We got to meet up at some point too. I know we talked about somewhere up here in the northeast of the U.S. or to get around in, hopefully this summer.
Yeah, that'd be fun, and I'm always happy to do anything involving golf with you guys. So pleasure being on. Thanks for having the French Canadian on. Hopefully you guys were able to understand me. Sorry if I mispronounce a few words, but
my last name is actually French Canadian as well, so it's Carpentier, but it's Carpentier. So there you go.
Real quick too, where can everybody kind of find you on socials and
just
that?
Fat to Fit Golf on Instagram. That's pretty much the only one that I've got going. It hasn't been very active in the last few months, but I'm always happy to chat in the DMs and talk with people, and maybe this summer I'll resume if I figure out what I do want to do with that account.
Awesome.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for being on with us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it for sure.
Thanks to you guys.
Yeah. All right,
buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
That was pretty cool having Sam on.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we talked about, everything, golf, fitness, wrestling. We're kind of all over. So.
Yeah. Hopefully we do get up to meet him for a round somewhere in the Northeast once springtime finally comes. Hopefully he gets through winter up there and gets golfing soon enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure you guys go follow his Instagram page and, just tell him what he thought about the interview and whatnot. And hopefully we get to talk to him again soon.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to Basic Bogeys.
If you made it to this point, we truly appreciate you listening to today's episode.
To see more of our content, be sure to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and subscribe on YouTube. We can be found at Basic Bogeys on all platforms.
Feel free to reach out to us, give us feedback on the show, or maybe you want to collaborate. We're always looking to team up with others and continue to grow this great golf community.